I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And it's your boy Steve.
What's up?
And this is Streaming Things covering Lost. Yes, the show from the early aughts.
you heard that right.
That you watched 15 years ago-ish. I've never seen it before, so I'm watching it for the first time. Madison.
Samesies.
You've never seen it before.
Never seen it.
Steve, longtime Lost fan, guiding us through the island.
Yeah.
I now all Sherpa. Three of us are island boys.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to. I think we could probably use that song for the show. There's no way that's copyrighted.
No, can we use that as the intro?
Island boys. What are the island boys?
The meme.
Oh.
You haven't heard that song?
No.
Oh, I'm definitely showing you that video
when we're done recording. That
that's going to be a rabbit hole for you.
Oh, yeah.
My brain immediately went to The Lonely Island with Andy Samberg and...
Different island boys.
Ooh. Yeah.
Better island boys. Not
I
what we were talking about.
Sex.
And it felt so good. My dad's not a cell phone. Anyway.
What you think? I'm stupid.
Yes, we're reviewing Lost. You can subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings. Get access to bonus content.
Access.
Like extra episodes. That's what the fuck they're called. But
like
also
Knives Out. We just released that on the Patreon this
honestly,
week.
What a gas that episode was. But you can also do other things like hang out with us in the Discord in perpetuity, but also every couple of weeks live. We do some video hangouts. Just did one yesterday.
How'd it go, buddy?
Honestly, great.
Great?
I feel like when I say honestly, it feels like I'm about to get real and say, not good. So I probably shouldn't have said that.
Honestly, some real shysters showed up.
Some real shit went down.
Well, kind of, because it turned into a therapy session, just like talking to me always does.
Yeah.
So like we're all having a good time and then boom, I'm like, everybody's helping me with my life.
Do you think it's weird I can't get it up?
I also went on, like right now? No, like in general. Other than that, it was a great time.
Good.
You could join that by going to patreon.com/streamingthings. We had a blast. We really
and
did.
You too
love those
can
folks.
Use Kit as your therapist.
No, it's them or therapizing me.
Opposite.
Yeah.
You
can help me with my life.
Yes.
If you're interested in
that. We tell you guys to go to BetterHelp for your mental health. We go to you for our mental health.
Yeah, we go to the listeners. What should I do about this?
Yeah.
Also, what is this rash? Later this week, you can hear Mean Girls, which is another thing patrons can sometimes do. They can mandate that we watch their favorite movies. Yeah. And Brittany is going to be there with us.
Brittany will be there.
Oh, no.
So fetch that she's coming.
I do want to say apologies in advance. My voice is a little, the timbre of my voice might be a little different because I've been sick all week.
And he's been weeping.
You got the raspies
there? I got a little bit of the raspies. I might cough. I got myself a hot toddy.
Yeah,
so
you
hopefully
do.
We'll be good to go. This week has been like a really awful one for my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, haven't slept all week. I've been sick all week. My social anxiety has been through the roof and I got sprayed by a bidet this morning. Let's fucking talk about Lost, baby. I'm ready.
God. What happened with your bidet?
Oh, I was cleaning the bathroom for you guys and I hit the switch. Just bullseye.
Those things are like, it didn't turn on too hard, did it?
I mean, got here and Steve was like rubbing his eye, like getting it out.
Honestly,
now you got pink eye.
rash on your face.
Yeah. I have the same bidet and I honestly love it. Like whenever I travel and I go to a hotel and I look at the toilet,
so mad.
I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Medieval torture device.
Right.
But they don't tell you, at least they didn't tell me. I wasn't aware. Don't turn that baby up past like two of the five settings or it'll be spraying out your mouth.
Yep. Yep.
Like, wow, the fire hose power on my beehole.
Well, it was weird. You know how like sometimes because you've never had a certain perspective on the way the world works, you're almost like I'm sure when people first saw like our ancestors, when they first saw
a bidet,
a meteor shower, they didn't know how to take it.
Sure.
Well, it's sort of like I've never seen the bidet squirt water because I've always been sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
So when I
your brown eye has no cornea.
Right. Yeah. You can't see out that thing. That would be gross. So when I hit the switch and it started spraying at me, I had no idea what was happening. It took me a solid like 2 seconds to realize what was going on. Yeah.
Why is the toilet like, spitting on me?
Is the toilet finally getting its revenge for all these years?
That you've been shitting on it?
You'll pee on me, I pee back.
Oh, your toilet's French? Oh. Of course it is.
Yeah. We are toilets, people.
It is bidet. Right?
Bidet. Oh, gosh.
That does make sense. It's bidet.
Yeah. Bidet. It just hit me at the end. Of course that bastard's French.
I need to jump on the bidet train.
I would love a heated bidet. My bidet is not...
Oh, those are expensive.
Yeah, they are. But I think that's the one bad thing I don't like about the bidet. It's not temperature controlled. So it's like cold water going up there.
No, I like it. It's like
a good wake up in the morning.
It's like a cold plunge, you know, but internally, it's even more hardcore.
You internalize it.
You take an ice bath. I spray ice cold water into my anus.
Yeah, that's how I begin every day. And then I go get a cold brew.
With a clean ass.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, the money you save on toilet paper, ridiculous.
It is, yeah.
Ridiculous. But any hoozle.
I feel like we could go on and on and on.
I could wax poetically.
Oh, please. We could just change the entire formats of this podcast and just call it the day.
Honestly,
cast.
We've been talking about this for what, 10 minutes? Just keep this bit.
Yeah.
Come back to it, edit it.
I'm not going to edit it at all. I'm just keeping it.
This is the episode.
I meant like keep it and then like. Keep it for the episode, but then also separately, have it its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like its own YouTube episode.
It's just three people talking about bidets.
And tag Tushy.
Yeah, tag them.
But yeah, we also have holiday merch we should probably mention.
Yeah.
If you, was it pre-order by the 13th of December?
Yeah, if you pre-order the new holiday merch that we have in our merch store, it's there. It comes in t-shirts or sweater forms. It's the three of us in Santa outfits. It says... happy holidays and happy streaming. If you pre-order before the 13th, our merch people guarantee that you will get it before Christmas.
Yes. So then you can wear it on Crima Day.
Yeah. That could be like if you do like an ugly Christmas sweater party, you could wear the streaming things sweater.
Or whatever holiday you celebrate for the winter solstice.
Christmas, Hanukkah, Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff. So that's important.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Exactly.
But anywho, that's what's on the, if you've never listened to the show before and you're still fucking here.
Hi.
I have to ask you, why is your phone broken? Did you try to get out and it wouldn't happen? Thank you to everybody, by the way, that sent in the Spotify Wrapped. I mean, we got dozens and dozens of people.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Thousands of minutes listening to us. Whoa. Yeah, I think Joey's the winner.
Yeah. I think Joey had like, what was it? Like a month's worth of.
Wow. It was just a photo of Dr. Evil going 1 million hours.
That's just awesome. Random.
So thank you all so much. You are too kind. We love you. Glad to be a huge part of your 2023 year. We beat Taylor Swift on some people, on some people's Spotify.
Damn.
Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. Take that, Taylor.
Take that, yeah. T-Swift.
You're in the Streaming Things Eras Tour now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is episode 9 of Lost Solitary Streaming Things version. That was a Taylor Swift joke. 6 people laughed somewhere out there. We're going to talk about our overall thoughts on the episode, and then we're going to go through a scene-by-scene, play-by-play, not reenactment, because I almost said that, but that would be fun, but a recap of the episode. And then we got a few games at the end to play together. We'll do Beach Please with Steve, where he recaps some behind-the-scene trivia and tidbits about the episode. Then our Mile High Club moments, our top 3 favorite moments of the episode, followed by Passenger Princess, our favorite performance of the episode. and cap it all off with a segment we call Lost and Found, where we're actually keeping track of all the mysteries as they unfold and whether or not they have been answered.
Yes.
So by the end, we'll know. Did they ever answer these questions satisfactorily?
Or, yeah. Or do these mysteries remain lost?
Ooh, bringing it all back. Mm. You guys ready for the overall thoughts?
Have to go back.
Yeah, let's do it.
Madison, drop some knowledge on me on how you were feeling throughout watching Lost Episode 9, Solitary.
I had a good time with this episode. I think up until this point, what I liked about this episode is that we finally got some new mystery, or we meet a new character that I was kind of waiting for, because I feel like up until this point, we've been focusing a lot on like the backstories of everyone else and not really looking towards like the future stories of what's going to happen on the island. So that was really cool. I liked having that tidbit, and then also getting to learn about Saeed. I had a good time, and there were some lighthearted moments with the golf tournament and stuff like that. So I enjoyed this episode. It was good. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it was definitely better than episode 8.
Yeah.
So I had a good time. I had a good time watching it.
Steve, what about you, buddy? Revisiting Ep 9.
In terms of Ep 9, I think I actually want to kind of mirror what Madison said. I actually really like this episode. You know, Saeed's one of the better characters on the show. So finally, it took 9 episodes, but we finally get Saeed's first specific episode about him. And it was nice seeing a little bit about his backstory. Honestly, I could have done more with Saeed's backstory. But also on top of that, you got this really fun plot thread of Hurley and Charlie and the gang creating this golf course, which is just a little bit of fun, I think, that the show kind of needed. And to Hurley's point, because Hurley's like, hey, man, we're all like just, you know, arguing with each other until the next scary thing shows up. We need some fun. It's in the show kind of needs that as well. I think it just needs a little bit of fun. So it's good to see that. But, you know, circling back to Saeed, like, it's great to see that character sort of develop and learn more about him. But also we're learning a little bit more about the island. We're learning a little bit about some of the bigger, you know, this nebulous elements. Cloud that's circling the island is slowly being, you know, it's some of it's just going away. There are others. There's a cable, Rousseau, what happened to the French people? Mm-hmm. Like, we're starting to see some things, and the show's pulling you back in. Cause like last episode, it was like, we talked about it a lot. It's not our favorite. It was kind of like, you know, maybe we need to want to start answering some questions here. Well, now we're getting some questions. It's like just enough of a little bit of a treat, to keep us on the line.
A little treat.
Yeah. Just a little treat. Kit, what about you?
Me personally?
Me? You want my opinion?
I love this episode for all the reasons that you guys have said. I really think, I don't know how they would have done it, because it involves the fallout that Saeed had with his own backstory and the rest of the group to get to this point. But I really feel like this should have happened sooner, because now they haven't really answered anything, but they have wet my whistle. In fact, asked
has
many
your whistle
more questions.
Been whetted?
It has.
Oh, my stars.
Thank you, guy from Knives Out.
Benoit Blanc.
Benoit Blanc, yeah. I
find myself on a deserted beach.
Deserted.
With people from an aircraft that has tumbled from the heavens.
It's a donut, which I could really use
right now.
Inside
of another donut.
I just feel like this has blown it wide open. You know what I mean? Like, there's some central questions being answered here that I'm like, oh, is there like a zombie situation going on here?
Right.
That's what, you know what I mean? Because the way that we'll talk about when we get to Rousseau, but there's some interesting things being said there. Mm-hmm. But also, like you guys said, Saeed is a fascinating character. I do think there's still some, for me, some uncomfy early aughts projections of Arabic folk. And we had some major Islamophobia still going on, but at the time it was at its heights, I think, in the early aughts. Right. And, so watching his backstory, it's like, oh, by the way, did we mention he loves torture? You know, like it's,
oh boy, there I go torturing again.
Just keep doing it. But at the same time, like it is a fascinating moral and there's, it's kind of a setup with what happens with Nadia and then a payoff where it's not what you think, based on how he answered questions to Rousseau. And I don't know. I just really like the structure of this episode. And it's one of two times, I think, where we got like a crazy legitimate cliffhanger at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Like maybe when Charlie and Jack were buried in the rocks, that happened before, I think.
Or when Saeed got hit in the head last time by a mystery person that we still don't know who did that to him.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So they do it sometimes.
Didn't the episode end with him getting smacked in the back of the head and then it was credits?
It did.
But I still feel like though, like the getting hit, not that it was elementary, but now that we have this kind of more, again, like the mystery of the island is now coming back. Like I feel like before we were focusing a lot on like the drama of the people, whereas now, because we've been kind of held back from learning anything about the island. So now it's like, yes, this is like what we're here for, you know? So that's been nice.
And I love that the polar bears is a joke even in. Like, yeah. Oh, we didn't tell you about the polar bears? Like,
oh, dang, you didn't hear about that?
And the fact, it's like, what? Fuck it. It is funny.
It's so old hat to them now, the people that have been on that island for like a couple weeks. Yeah, like, the polar bear. Everyone knows
nobody
polar
told
bear.
Poor Michael, though, you know, and Charlie's just like, we didn't tell you about the polar bears?
Have you not heard about the polar? That's all we're talking about.
You are in your own little world drawing pictures. But let's get into the play-by-play because there's a lot to talk about in this episode. It starts out with Saeed looking at a photo of a woman. At the time, I don't think we know who it is.
We do not.
Correct. That was in one of our lost and found.
That's right. Ooh, he's alone on the beach because he left the group because of his propensity for torturing. And he sees something in the sand. Is it a rope?
Is it a snake?
He starts following where it leads.
Oh, the cable.
We cut to Jack changing Sawyer's bandages. And there's a Dr. Quinn reference. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Big fans of Dr. Quinn.
Medicine Woman.
Men and Medicine Woman. The spinoff. Great
time.
I'm
familiar.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect so. It was like on TV, like right before.
You said Dr. Quinn?
Yeah. And Xena Warrior Princess and Hercules. It was like before that even. This is like Kung Fu, The Legend Continues era TV. I'm getting in the weeds here.
Generational divide.
Yeah, this is like pre-Charmed. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh. Now Dr. Quinn lives in the universe of Kung Fu.
That's right. And then he, you know, Sawyer's giving Jack shit about his conscience. Like, you're only changing my bandages because you feel bad because you let me get stabbed.
Yeah.
He's like, nobody likes you.
You prescribed me some torturing for an ailment I didn't even have, doc. I want a second opinion.
He's clever on the doctor metaphor, for sure. And then he's like,
my copay ain't doing shit for me right now.
You get into deep insurance analogies. My out of pockets do.
My deductible's been met.
Ooh, deductible.
Ooh.
And then he says, nobody even likes you, Sawyer, basically, right? And Sawyer's like, she does, talking about Kate. And that pisses Jack off. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're going to bring my girl into this?
I do like the subtle acting from Josh Holloway, because he says, like, no one even likes you, Sawyer. And there's this little beat where he just, like, sad boy Sawyer comes out.
Yeah.
And then that sly smile, like, he gets you can see the idea form in his brain where it's like, I know what'll hurt him. Kate wants me.
Kate wants me.
She kissed me for an inhaler.
Yeah.
That I didn't have.
I thought she was just going to kiss me on the cheek, but
went tongue first.
She was ready for it.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut Kate.
You would have thought she needed the inhaler.
Are you back to Benoit Blanc?
I find the attraction between these two love boards. Confounding.
It compels me, though.
Honestly,
at the beginning, when Jack is taking the bandages off Sawyer's arm, I put... honestly, they should kiss.
I would have liked it. Tongue first, same way.
Can you add that into your pirate fanfic?
It already is in there. Don't worry.
Come on. Man,
Don't worry. Where do you think the idea came from?
Give me the latest draft, Madison.
I'll send it to you.
Can't keep us waiting like this. And Kate is worried about Saeed, right? Like, Jack's like, he'll be fine.
It's been 2 days.
He's a soldier. He tortures probably the whole jungle right now. He's getting tortured. The guy can't stop. The polar bears are out there whining.
Please.
I don't know anything.
You just hear screams coming from the forest.
Give me the Coca-Cola.
It's just Saeed torturing random things. Where's the other side of the island? I don't know, man. Keep walking. Fuck.
Keep going.
But then Saeed follows the rope, comes across like a wire trap, like a tripwire. In the jungle. It's like all of a sudden we're in The Last of Us video game, and I got really excited. My notes are, what the fuck is going on? And then he gets hoisted up, not by his own petard,
but no,
by another trap.
Which I, yeah, because I saw that he noticed the tripwire and then he like stepped over it. So I guess there was another.
Yeah. So they were underneath. They were extra clever. And like, if you see the tripwire and step over it, you're going to be stepping into my other trap.
Oh,
exactly. Well done. Well done, Russo.
Dummy tripwire, gotcha, for dummies.
And then we get, gotcha, the X-Files Windows 95 screensaver thing. Whoa. Lost. hours later, he's still hanging there. He's praying. In Arabic, I believe, and gets cut down by a mysterious stranger. I didn't see how he got cut down. It was like a, I was taking notes, obviously, and it was like,
it was one of those knives that has sort of like a right angle to it.
But she like threw it, I guess?
No, no, I think she cut it.
She cut it.
Yeah.
Because then she like walks up from afar, though.
Right, but the tension line is not where he is.
It's, oh, like,
to,
right,
a tree. Yeah, so, okay, she cut it down over there and, yeah, then walked over to
those him. Knives are cool, like the angled ones. Yeah. I don't know what they're called. Somebody write in streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
It looks kind of like a boomerang.
You could actually mail us one of those knives at the P.O. machete. Box.
The people at our P.O. Box are like,
We've got some Australian listeners. I bet they got a bunch. They use those for butter, probably.
They have to protect their homes from the
crazy,
all the poisonous animals there.
Mm-hmm. Nar.
The big ass spiders.
And then we cut to Jack. He's patching somebody else up. I don't know if I've seen these guys before. You guys said we got introduced to a new character, alluding to Rousseau. I think we got introduced to three.
Mm-hmm.
They act like two of them are just have been there the whole time.
I love when the show just gets a wild hair up its ass.
Hey, here's, and is Ethan, like,
hey, we paid another actor this week.
Yeah.
Here's this dude. So, will you ever see him again?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Ethan was the guy that was helping Locke, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Locke has like a
he's
fan
got like
club,
a little buddy.
A little,
yeah,
fan club. You know?
Hunting pal.
And then, yeah, fucking
hypochondriac
rash
guy.
Boy out of nowhere.
Rash boy.
Little rashy
boy.
Guy.
The
guy
rash was boy.
And I'm sorry. There's that dude is what? Like, at the earliest, that dude's like, yeah, 45 ish, yeah,
and getting that the guy's whole like, island chlamydia.
What's hives?
Yeah, oh,
come on, bro.
Come on, man.
He's scared.
Well, even if he's a hypochondriac, I mean, put a little more effort into. Oh, hives.
They could have said,
"What's that?"
What could they have said? What's the fancy, scary sounding word for rash? Dermatology. Fuck you, Steve. No.
A dermatology disease.
Doctor, I've got a dermatology. Can you help me?
I've got a dermatology.
Can you get sun to make me some aloe from a dermatology?
Are you typing synonym for rash?
Yeah, man.
And yeah,
I can't wait to hear.
Dermatitis.
Sounds, yeah, like a transformer.
Because I used to have I told you about the rash. No, that was on the Discord,
it's a Pokemon,
hangout.
dermatitis.
Yeah, dermatitis. Anywhoozle. Yeah. He's got the dermatitis and he's really scared about it.
And I love, this is the second, I think the second week in the row where Jack's medical advice is like really funny, where he's like, I don't know, just try to keep your mind off it.
Well, that's
which, is like a good, like in this case, yes, I get it. Yeah, but I love how Hurley's like, only, keep your mind off it.
Imagine you're the only doctor in this situation. You've got your own shit to worry about. And you've got this like hero complex that keeps involving yourself in other people's business. But at this point, you're also just like, look, man, I could have had sex and I was talking about infrastructure. I don't know what I was thinking. Now Sawyer's wheezing his way in. And then this guy comes up to you like, do you think my balls look weird? You know, I mean, yeah, they
Boone,
all do.
For the second time today. No, I'm not looking at your balls again, Boone. I just thought maybe you could help
you
me out.
Help me out, man.
Janet said they look weird.
Yeah, I show them to her.
I show my sister my balls. It's fine. No big deal.
We were dating in the original script. Not weird. That's something you told me, right?
No.
Or did I make that up?
You
well,
made that
they,
up.
They had some dating undertones at the beginning.
Yeah, I feel like in the original draft, they were together and they were like, probably, let's make them brother and sister. And they forgot to change some things.
Forgot to change the makeout scene in episode 4.
Yeah.
Guys, we left the sex scene in episode 10. Shit.
Oh, well.
Whoopsies.
Run with it. We're predicting a trend for porn in the future.
Game of Thrones is going to be huge. It'll be okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's a hypochondriac. Hurley is like kind of mocking him about that. But he does. Steve talked about it earlier. This is where Hurley's like, we got to have fun, man. We're all fried and stressed. We need something to do. And Jack's like, look, man, we're all focusing on surviving. Everything's good. Things could be a lot worse. Hurley says, how?
I love that.
Which is funny.
How?
Which is funny. And we cut back to Saeed, who's now like tied to an electrocuted fence. He's being tortured. And
well.
Yeah, the torture's on the other foot.
How the torture turn tables.
And then someone is asking him,
like, this really does suck. Why have I been doing this?
I shouldn't be doing this to all the bears. Somebody's asking him, where is Alex, in many different languages, because they don't know what he speaks, right? Wo ist Alex? I heard some German in there. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the past. Saeed is torturing someone, of course, in the past.
Oh boy.
With his short hair.
And they do the thing where, like, they pan across the subject.
They do the Hunt for Red October.
And then switch to English.
Yeah.
Is that what Hunt for Red October did as well?
Yeah.
It's the move.
Look at you. Nice.
And then.
Which I'm sure American audiences in 2004 are probably like, oh, thank God.
I was going to have to read. I almost turned it off. I couldn't find my remote.
Ugh.
Well, that's what happened when I've been recommending Godzilla Minus One to everyone who will listen. It's how I found a way to cleverly put it in the Lost episode. We made time for bidets. but it's Japanese with subtitles. It's the original Toho movie studio that invented Godzilla. And, you know, most people are like, oh, great, I'll check it out. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, is there a dub? Oh, man, I was going to watch it, but it's not a brief. No, I get there's an accessibility factor to that. Some people, like maybe with dyslexia or any issue with reading whatsoever, mm-hmm. it's just too difficult for you to keep up with the story. But I think there's a lot of I just don't like reading going on as well.
Yeah.
So, but definitely check out Godzilla Minus One, folks. It is incredible and a must see on a big screen.
And also, if you love Lost, he's going to show up soon. I'm kidding.
That's true. It's fucking Godzilla.
That's what's been in the forest this whole time.
I wouldn't be shocked after the polar bear. But then Saeed gets promoted because he's so good at torturing. He's so devoted to the Republic Guard that he gets promoted to intelligence. That's happening soon. And it looks like his friend, I think his name's Omar.
Omar, yeah.
Is his superior officer, but temporarily.
I got to say, Saeed deserves that promotion only because of his... I don't condone torture, right? But I gotta respect the game, right? Mm-hmm. He tortures this guy and just effortlessly is like, just turns his head so the guy can puke. Like, I ain't getting puked on today. This ain't my first rodeo. Like, damn, Saeed, you do this a lot.
Yeah. Just knowing, this guy's about to throw up.
That's why he's getting promoted.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. And of course it's Saeed and like the way he does it, I'm like, damn, it's better not awaken anything in me. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to be tortured by him.
Gorgeous man. And I like a gorgeous man in uniform.
I would tell him anything.
Oh, God.
As long as he tells me what he's putting in that hair.
Get the bamboo shoots, honey.
You ever use a bidet? I do. So no worries for you, Saeed. Wow. So I don't know anything about Iraqi politics. And I meant to research because this episode is kind of hinging on the fact that at least it implies that Saeed is working for his country, but like for the dictator side. And Nadia is like a freedom fighter, like somebody who's balking against fascism-esque things. And I don't know.
The Republican Guard was Saddam Hussein's army.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously he's Sunni because he's torturing people and asking about Shiites and Kurdish. I was being honest. I don't know anything about those two different factions.
It's a fuzzy thing for me as well, but I do know that like he is supposed to be operating for the side that Saddam Hussein is in control of at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's it for that scene. And we get cut back to the island in the present. Ethan, who the fuck is that? It's John's buddy.
Oh, it's Locke's friend.
He kind of looks like Locke a little bit. Do we think that?
I didn't notice that now.
I don't know why. I just was like, kind of looks like him a little bit. So I was like, did they cast his son or something?
Like if they put a bad wig on John Locke, you got Ethan.
like Terry or just like
a little younger version of Locke, maybe. I don't know. I just made note of that.
That actor, he's a good character actor. Like around this time, he would pop up in very minor roles on like every TV show that existed.
Like 24.
Yeah. Like he always popped up and he was always like a memorable, like minor character. Mm. Yeah.
Andromeda.
Andromeda. Hell yeah.
You know, sci-fi show with Kevin Sorbo. Dude. Anybody else?
Fuck.
And then I guess they were night hunting is what they call it.
As you do.
Yeah. Sure,
hey, you guys, were. We're going to go night hunting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me and Ethan, you know.
Hunting for some ass. Like,
who's Ethan? Oh, it's my night hunting buddy. Yeah,
just my twink buddy. We were out. Oh. We were just out running around the jungle.
Just being friends.
Now that my legs work and everything does, we were just... I'm gallivanting.
I take him to the woods to show him the monster.
But they found some extra luggage they hadn't been through yet out there. They bring it to Hurley. Like, hey, inventory guy, you do literally nothing else.
Do you think he found the hairbrushes?
I hope so, man. So. Gosh. That's what he was so excited about. Meanwhile, Walt wants to like go out with Locke, hang out with Locke. And Michael's like, huh?
Hell no.
Yeah, definitely not.
Who are you?
Sit down. Oh, I forgot. Stare at the ground again. Yeah, exactly. Hurley finds something exciting in the suitcase, and then it cuts back to Saeed being tortured. They're still looking for Alex, whoever this mystery person is. And of course, it's the French woman.
It's the French.
Dun, dun.
Somewhere in the world, Enza angrily turned the show off.
Alex's. The French arc is back.
She doesn't believe him.
You can call me Danielle.
He doesn't know where Alex is.
But how is this reveal that, for you guys watching this for the first time, was it like obvious when she shows up and he calls her Rousseau? You're like, oh, it's the French lady who left the message. Did it like connect with you right away?
Yes.
Was it like
no.
No?
No. I just was like, oh, who's the stowaway on the island? Because they made it like this message, the distress signal was 16 years old. So I was like, oh, I'm sure within 16 years, someone else has been on the island. But no, my first immediate thought was, oh, no, this isn't the French woman. And I was shocked to know that it was. So, but I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, again, just... Yes, we're getting like new mysteries about the island.
As soon as she spoke, like there's like a paragraph in French that she delivers to him, which, by the way, I hope that's in Beach Please what she said, because I looked it up and couldn't find it. And I'm noticing by your eyes it's not.
But doesn't she recite the distress signal to him? And that's how he realizes that. Or no, he says he.
Maybe that's all she's. Again, I don't know what she said in French, because there's a while where she goes on in French for a bit. And I looked up, you know, the episode, and it started to tell me what it says in episode 2 in French. And I was like, never mind. I'm trying to watch the show.
Omelette du fromage.
Exactly. Cheese? Is that fromage?
Yeah.
Okay. She doesn't believe him. So she says, I know what you are. Right. And then like knocks him out. He wakes up. He sees Rousseau on a jacket nearby. She's basically the Sarah Connor of France is what I'm gathering.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good parallel.
I like that.
But she's a little slow because it's been a while since she's been around people. How did you know that name? I read it on your jacket.
It's right there.
But then she gets him back later and she's like, Saeed. And he's like, how did you know that name? And she's like, it's on the photo. It says Saeed. They do the same thing back and forth.
It's the one thing on the photo written in English.
Yeah. Yeah. But then she tells him they control it now. And
in regards to her broadcast.
Yeah,
like the power source that her broadcast has.
He's like, what?
Who's they?
And we find out that the photo is of a person named Nadia. Back to the past. We meet Nadia in the past.
Gotta go back in time.
And she is called Noor Abed Jazim, but known to her friends as Nadia. And she's a known associate of Kurdish and Shiite people. And he's like, look, man, Nadia, you know me. You know I'm going to torture you. I do that to everybody.
My girl, you know this.
I've been doing it.
All our homies on the street tell you this.
Yeah.
Plot twist. They knew each other when they were younger.
Yeah. And she used to have like a girl crush on him and beat him up and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is that's what you do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
When he's like somebody.
But not wise enough to know pushing me in the mud was flirting, you know. She's been tortured many times already. It's very sad. She's like, do what you gotta do, bud. They've been drilling through my hands. They've been skinning my feet.
Shit.
And not like
with acid, like not with pumice, chest.
Not just exfoliating.
No.
Full on flaying. We're talking Ramsay style. You'll get that reference in a few years. And he's like, what? Bolton. Yeah.
Coming in deep with the Game of Thrones cuts here.
Yeah, and then the acid. That's right. Yeah, there's a third one. So she's been tortured a bunch. She's like, do what you gotta do, bro.
I gotta say, having flayed feet just does something to me inside where I'm like, that sounds awful.
Like all of it sounded not fun.
None of it sounds great.
None of it sounds great, but for some reason the flayed feet was the one that
Are you saying you'd rather have your hands drilled than feet flayed?
I mean,
if you had
what,
to pick,
what exactly is getting your feet flayed?
Like they slice the skin off of your feet.
Yeah.
And like that would suck. They'd be real stingy. It's the worst kind of like, and you couldn't walk.
Yeah, you couldn't walk.
I think I'd rather the hands.
Yeah, drilled.
Yeah, I think the hand thing might be the one I'd go with.
Over the acid even?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too. I think so too. Just quick. Are you talking about like a good titanium bit? Clean.
Yeah, if you're using a good bit.
It better be a DeWalt fully charged.
If it's not a DeWalt. If they come at me with anything but a DeWalt, I'm like, come back with the feet thing. All right.
Oh, no way. No, Ryobi's going in these hands.
They just get a screwdriver out.
Yeah.
But she's like a strong, she's a badass. She's like, hey man, do your work. I ain't going to tell you.
Do your worst.
Yeah. Back in the past, back in the island, Rousseau finds Saeed's bullet wound and he tells, you were a soldier. And he's like, that was a long time ago, right? She asks about Nadia and he tells her Nadia's dead. And he asks about Alex.
He put the reverse Uno card down.
He did.
Said, actually,
reverse Uno card.
Who's Alex?
Yeah. Back with the main crew, Walt is super bored. And Michael's refusing to, hey, man, just find something to do. This shit sucks. I don't know what to tell you.
He says, entertain yourself. And I wrote in my notes, literally every Gen X or Gen Y to their Gen Z children.
Yeah. Do something.
Yeah. After they take away their iPads.
Yeah. Yeah. Figure it out, kid.
Entertain yourself.
And Walt's just like.
Look out the window. Look at nature.
Look at nature.
We used to drink from garden hoses. Hurley is still fucking around with whatever he's doing. He's super excited about it. Back at the torture chamber, Rousseau still thinks he's lying.
You're lying.
She asks him, if you got so many friends, why are you alone out here? And he's like, I stabbed a guy looking for inhalers.
It's a long story.
Yeah, I don't want to bore you.
But here's the gist.
And then Nadia's dead, right? And that's when he tells her this. And she says, sincerely, it looks like to me, I'm so sorry. Because she can just tell. She gets the vibe
that he does a little face touch.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It was a little sensual, I'm not going to lie.
She hasn't seen a man in a long time, and that man is a handsome man.
He is a handsome man.
If you haven't seen another man for 16 years, and this just chiseled, God... stumbles into your bear trap.
Bullet wounded man.
Yes.
You can take care of him. nurse him back to health. Oh, Danielle, don't let this opportunity slide by.
She's, she's like, this is my favorite trope. Oh my gosh.
I would do the same thing if he was looking at me with his beautiful brown eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, let me put my hand on your lips.
Just,
shh. I'm gonna activate the electricity again if you don't.
Back to the main crew. Michael's working on drawing plans for showers. Not only is he a construction worker, he doesn't say he was an architect or an engineer of any kind. He just likes to draw.
He just likes to draw.
I was an artist in my previous life.
Which is how that works.
I can't speak to the architectural soundness of this design, but it looks pretty dope.
It looks cool.
Did you see the shading?
I used to draw my own manga. I made some showers. Here's us in them. Jack's like, what? Why are you doing that?
Don't worry.
And there's Locke and Ethan.
I know what you're asking. And yes, I drew us chibi style.
Charlie beckons for them to go see what Hurley's been up to. And Hurley built a golf course. And this is where we find the joke about the freaking polar bears. So that's what Hurley's been doing. I don't think that would work. I'm not a big golfer, but the grass has to be cut just so, you know, especially
well, you're always on the, what's it called? The rough, never on the fairway.
Exactly. And like, or even that's fine, but like, you're definitely not going to get a decent putting green. Who's going to be able to?
Sure. But I assume if you've been stuck on an island for a couple of weeks and you're starred for activity.
Imagine they lose that ball.
Which,
I'm sure the bag had six or seven in there, but imagine.
Oh, they're going to throw that person into the ocean.
Like they finally let Walt play and he's like, whoosh, and they're like, you
Buffle
son
down.
Of a bag.
Ball got lost.
Yeah.
That's they how start Walt clubbing talks. Him with the clubs.
Damn. And then back to the torture chamber at the lair. Meanwhile, she...
In the meantime,
at Russo's place.
She shows Saeed her music box, talks about her husband, Robert, and then he offers to fix her box. And
yeah, he does.
she
said, I can fix that box of yours.
So she immediately pulls out a syringe.
I'm good with my hands.
She sticks him with that dirty ass needle.
Yeah, she does.
I hated it so much.
Yeah, that is like gross as fuck.
When it zoomed in on it, it was like, oh, hepatitis. So, A, B, and C.
I know this is skipping ahead of it, but I honestly, like, I kind of forgot why she was injecting him or what she was injecting him with and why. But when it like goes back to them in a couple minutes and it's like, oh, I just needed to move you from the bed to the chair.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
I like it because it's like you're like, oh my God, it's scary. You don't know what's going on. But it's like she was actually taking him up on his offer, but didn't trust him enough to let him up. She wanted to
but
get
I can
him
just
in work
imagine
bench
her
position.
Her trying to like carry this like heavy man. Like,
oh, she definitely
put him down.
Did some inappropriate things while moving him.
Yeah.
Sorry. I noticed your balls were in the wrong position when I sat you down.
Yeah, he's like sitting there.
I noticed you hanged left, and I wanted to hang you right.
Russo, where are my pants? I don't know.
That's so weird. They fell off.
The others.
Why are my nipples hard?
She's been tweaking them?
Ha ha. She said French that do. Signal has to go out somehow.
Yeah, that's right.
Now fix my box.
I'm changing the frequency.
Lubricate my box.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the golf crew, but at first it's Jack and I think Charlie.
Jack and Michael are really close to each other.
Oh, it's Michael. Yeah. And he's like, this is a real problem, man. I know what I would do, but you got to make your own decision. And then it zooms out and it's them playing a game of golf.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was
a great cut.
That was a good cut.
Well done. And then Rashy Guy shows up. Oof. What are you guys doing?
Hey,
Doc, my dermatitis came back. Are you guys playing golf?
Can I play?
So Hurley was right. Everybody's excited about the golf. Saeed wakes up again. It's from the sedative that she injected him with. She's chained, sitting now, or is where he is.
I think there are like four scenes that start off with Saeed waking up.
I'm a sleepy man. And then
I'm so sleepy.
She's like, no, seriously, please fix my box. And Danielle is her name, we find out. And we get a little bit about her origin. She was part of a science team with rifles. Mm-hmm. She was with Alex and Robert. Robert, we know is her son, or I'm sorry, her husband. Alex, we find out later, is her child. And then they were 3 days out of Tahiti. They got shipwrecked on the island. And then they survived unscathed for two straight months before something happens.
And it killed them all.
I got really frustrated here. And I know they can't reveal too much. That's the whole point of the show, is these mysteries unraveling. But I hate it when you can see the seams of how they're keeping you in the dark. And those seams are a character being stupid. And instead of letting the person who's actively telling you all the mysteries talk, fucking Saeed interrupts her right as she trails off. You know, we survived 2 months. And then he's like, oh my God, tell me what happened. And I'm like, she was doing that, my guy. I just, as somebody who wants to know, I'm like, fuck.
Let her speak.
But then she starts saying cryptically, you know, it was them. They were the carriers. The others came. And then, you know, there was whispering. And I hear him all the time, the whispers. And he gives her a look. And she's like, you think I'm insane? And he's like, absolutely,
like,
I do.
Yeah,
I think you've been here too long. Mm-hmm. By yourself.
You've been alone.
He's like, damn, why does every woman who asks me to fix her box crazy? that's not what he says. That's not what he says at all. So we get a lot of things here. Mm-hmm. Carriers. Yeah, so there's some kind of zombie virus. There's some kind of something.
There's a zombie virus. There are others. There are she's never seen them, but they whisper in the woods. There's something called a black rock. What is the black rock?
The black rock. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He like panics. What is the black rock?
What is it?
I need to know. And so it implies that, yeah, there's like, because later she tells him to watch the people that he's with, right? Very carefully. So it implies that they turn in some way. So it implies maybe the guy that hit Saeed is already turned and is hiding amongst the group, right? So it's somebody we wouldn't expect that is now like being controlled.
It's Shannon.
Ooh, or Claire. Claire. And it's like the Omen baby.
The baby. It was the baby the whole time.
It was the baby. And that's the a perfect hiding spot.
The baby is crawling out in the middle of the night and then crawling back into her vagina.
Yes.
I'm just saying Claire and the baby weren't in this episode, so... Oh.
Next episode, Saeed snaps awake. There's a tiny fetus holding a golf club staring at him.
You won't say anything to anybody. What put the screws to you, Saeed?
He's like and a
Claire's
New Jersey
in the
gangster.
Corner smoking a cigarette, like, get him. Get him.
Put the screws to you.
I'll take him, Ma. Let me at him.
Do your worst.
You ever been beat up by a baby?
I'm feeling like the character from Broad City, the guy that likes to act like a baby. Have you ever seen Broad City?
Fred Armisen?
Yeah, when
I'm
he's
a
like,
baby.
Yeah, I don't have any money.
I don't have any money.
That's who it is. Yeah. That's who plays the baby in Lost.
That would be great.
This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way. And BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Gobble, gobble, stream fiends. It is the month of November and thus comes Thanksgiving if you celebrate it here in the States. But it's a month where we want to take a step back and just really appreciate and be thankful for everything that we have here at Streaming Things. One of the many things that we are thankful for are our patrons at all tiers, but especially our super patrons, which we shout out each and every month here on the podcast. Let's get to it. We are thankful for you, Sydney B, Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brenstradamus, it's a great name, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento 7, Jace Gramo, AK, Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big But Horny got an upgrade, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Jovalez, Valerie, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Love Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show. Gobble gobble.
Baby Hoozle.
Anyway.
We cut back to the past.
Gotta go back in time.
It's Saeed trying to get Nadia to cooperate so he can free her. And it seems like he earnestly cares about her, but he also doesn't want to break the rules quite yet, right? Yeah. Like, just tell me, bro. I'll get you out. We can hang out. We could be friends again.
I try to get you some fruit. I'm trying to get you some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we cut back to the island. Kate hears Jack is golfing from Boone and Shannon. And she's like, Jack is golfing? And honestly, this is one of the funniest things Sawyer's ever said. Because at first you're kind of with Kate, and I know what she meant. Like, oh, Jack's a stressed out, self-involved, not self-involved, but you know what I mean? Like, he's always one-track minded to this plight that they're in.
Yeah,
no way.
He would never do fun.
He would never do a fun. Yeah. But also the fact that Sawyer says, oh, a doctor playing golf? what's right. next? A cop eating a donut, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, that is like, that's of course Jack plays golf, you know?
That's good.
Another one of my favorite parts of the scene is when everyone on the beach gets so like, we got to go. And they go running. Kate literally drops what she's doing. Like she's got a bunch of wood. She's like, well, I got to see this. Drops it where she's standing.
I'll pick it up later. There's plenty of sticks around here. And then they have a conversation, her and Sawyer, where she's like, well, you should come as well. And he's like, nah.
From one outsider
everyone
to another.
Everyone hates me.
By the way, is Kate an outsider? I guess she was because of the felony thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, no one knows that.
She fits in a lot better than him, I feel like.
I think the outsider moniker that she's putting upon herself is much more self-inflicted than group inflicted.
Yeah.
Because everyone else seems to be like, Kate, what's up, girl?
Yeah.
Well, no one knows that she is a felon at this point, right?
I don't think Curly does, I think, as I recall. Right. Didn't he like find the wanted poster as well?
Oh.
Yeah, Hurley, Jack, and
Hurley,
and Sawyer.
I feel like, told everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That motherfucker ain't keeping
that chatty Hurley's bitch.
Like, he's like, you see this? Look at this. Mm-hmm. He puts it in the burn book.
Dude.
I got new tea. Did you see John found somebody in the jungle?
It's like when Hurley's
walking. His name's Ethan.
Remember the first couple episodes where like Hurley was always just walking around with the food tray, like serving everybody? Like, yeah. It's just him like, hey, dude, you didn't hear this from me, but.
He's the Gretchen Wieners of the island.
Of the island.
Yeah.
That's why his hair is so big.
He could hold secrets. You beat me to it. They leave to go golf. We cut back to Saeed, who did, in fact, fix Danielle's music box. He shows her that. He seems to, like, keep the screwdriver to, like, free himself. He's sneaky about it.
I love those little screwdrivers.
Huh. Yeah, they are handy. Mm-hmm. We go back to...
He wants to go back to the beach, but it's not safe.
She says, yeah.
There's like some roaring outside. And she's like, if we're lucky, it's going to be one of the bears. And there's this interesting thing where he goes like, hey, it could be that monster. And she like stops and looks at him and is like, there's no such thing as monsters, idiot.
Yeah. Now you're being ridiculous, Saeed.
Yeah. I was like, okay, so what? We're all confused on what the monster is. Everyone on the
She is privy to information we don't have. And she gets to be coy about it.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Boo,
I'm
you
not
whore.
A fan of that. Yeah.
Or maybe she just hasn't seen a monster.
Maybe she's the monster. And when Locke saw her, he was like, she's beautiful.
Aww.
It's beautiful. And then Locke and Danielle start dating. Wow.
Oh, and Ethan's sad.
Yeah. Ethan's like, shit.
Locke goes back like, Ethan, you have hair. You know how to talk to women. Mm-hmm. There's this girl in the woods.
Yeah.
Can we go out at night and you just tell me how to talk to girls and we can practice kissing? So when I kiss her, it's really good for her.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like her. She has a rifle and it's like,
you're not a power bottom, are you, Ethan? That would make me uncomfortable.
Ethan's like, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm in love with you.
I just want to be involved.
I just want to be useful.
So then, I think Danielle's like Robin Williams' character from Jumanji, you know?
What year is it?
I really feel, what year is it?
It's been 16 years.
Yeah, exactly. I think she knows exactly what's out there. I don't know what she meant technically by there's no such thing as monsters, but I think it's alluding to what the identity of the monsters is, you know, whatever that is. But we cut back to the past.
Back in time.
Omar tells Saeed that he has to execute Nadia. That's not going to be a problem, is it? It's not your like friend, is it?
He's like, no, it should be fine.
I'll kill her right now. I don't care. I mean, I was just saying.
Didn't mean anything to me.
Seems wasteful, but.
Yeah, she used to push me in dirt all the time. She has it coming.
There's a big Fortnite event I was going to go to, but I guess I got time.
I guess I'll take care of this, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. I'm in the queue anyway.
I don't need the new emotes.
Back on the island, Saeed's busting out. He takes all her maps and drawings, or maybe those are his she found in his backpack.
I think those are hers.
Okay, I thought so. And then he takes one of the rifles and then leaves Nadia's photo there. And then back to Jack and the boys are still playing golf.
Jack and the boys.
Kate shows up and Charlie's like trying to teach Hurley on a swing, you know, and Hurley's not having it. Come on, bro. What do I look like, Ethan here? And then Walt is mad that he was left alone in the caves.
Understandably.
Exactly. He's like, oh, Claire was there. You know, the 9 months pregnant lady. She was hanging out with you. That's fun.
But she's sleeping and 9 months pregnant. I think that baby keeps coming out and like threatening people.
Yeah, I saw the baby walk out. I don't know
no
from what yet.
No one will ever believe you, Walt. It's like in the middle of the night, like putting a knife to people's throat. Like, don't tell anybody about this.
Snitches get stitches.
Why does he sound like a mixture of Pippin and Mr. Poopy Butthole from Rick and Morty?
Hooey.
Hooey.
babies. I'm a baby.
I laugh really hard because so Kate shows up to watch the game and everyone's having fun. And Kate immediately looks at Jack and goes, "How'd you come up with this?" Oh, you know, Hurley was all over there like, motherfucker.
The credit.
Not always, Jack.
I didn't even catch that line.
All right.
That is funny.
Other people are providing.
What's so funny is they double down on Michael being a shitty dad in this episode.
Oh, because yes, they do. Yeah.
It's like he didn't play with him or entertain him. That's fine, actually. He's probably pretty stressed trying to survive and stuff. I understand
that.
He's
trying to make a shower system.
But then, like, you totally forgot your kid. I would never do that. But then he's like, I'll make it up to you. Why don't you want to play? And Walt's obviously hurt being stubborn. Like, no. Everybody's already busy. It's fine. And Michael's like, no. Are you sure? And then it's literally his turn. And he could be like, Walt, take my shot and affect no one else here by hopping in. He's like, all right, see you, buddy. And then just
like, cuts away.
What?
Yeah.
I was shocked by that. Like, if it's straight up Michael's turn.
Hey man, golf, I don't know if you know this about golf, ruins families.
It does.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. It's
sad.
Expensive hobby.
Sad. I hate golf. Anyway.
Me too.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The only way to play golf is drunk.
You know, I got no.
And when it's putt-putt.
Oh, and actually, yeah, putt-putt
with
is hella
windmills.
Fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you're drunk.
Yeah.
And yes. Only.
Drunk putt-putt.
Yeah. That's why I don't play. I do like a good driving range.
Yeah, which, driving ranges. Yeah, because you just hit it.
Or like
it.
A top golf.
Yeah.
I just like hitting it. I don't like chasing it.
Yeah.
No.
I don't care where it went.
I always feel weird golfing because there are the people there that are like legit into it and take it way too serious. And they like do that thing where they're like, let me just hold my stick up. Let me just get real close
just
to the ground.
Where's the wind? Where's the wind going?
And then my Doc Martens and my awful.
I don't think that's what they're wearing.
I don't think Doc Martens are.
I don't fucking golf know. No. I'm in my golf shoes and my
they're literally
my Dockers. My Dockers.
They're Dockies. Yes,
Dockers.
Dockies. That's
Dockers.
That's what I was thinking.
Dockers
are like the slacks.
Yeah. But that's what I was thinking of. Dockers.
Or your Titleist hat.
Yeah, with a little koosh ball on top.
Sure.
Actually, I'm picturing now.
That's like Irish golf.
A white man wearing like the quarter zip with like the slacks, but has like mid-calf Doc Martin boots on. on the green.
Shit just, kickers.
Yeah.
Not allowed on the green with those.
Yeah.
No way. No way. How you feel about froth?
A frisbee golf?
Frisbee
golf
played.
Is better.
It's for the hippies.
Yeah.
Hacky sack between rounds.
I'm equally bad at both, but. I
do
I
like
more
a good
fun
frisbee and, golf.
Yeah, I have more fun at frisbee golf.
I'm a good pickup basketball game or softball game.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why you're always wearing basketball shorts.
Yeah, always.
You gotta be ready to ball at any moment.
Any mm-hmm. given moment.
Yeah.
You guys want to go?
Always Adam Sandlering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're giving I'm Adam giving Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Always.
She's like Woody Harrelson from White Men Can't Jump. Just hustling people on the court all day.
Always.
Oh, I'm just a girl, I guess. How do you do that? Dunk.
Dunk. You fucking thought.
Where was the notes at? They're playing golf. Oh, yeah. Walt needs a new father.
Yeah.
And we cut to Danielle is out hunting the monster. Saeed sneaks up behind her. And all of a sudden, they end up pointing guns at each other. Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's like the Spider-Man meme.
Don't put me in a situation very similar to my past backstory. And then, like, the door slam of the past is cut in to sound like a gunshot. Because right before one of them pulls the trigger, I love the editing there. It's like, and it's just the door slamming in the past. Very good. Well done. Chef's kiss. And they start walking to Nadia's execution. It's him taking Nadia there. He tells the guards, hey, I got this.
She got a black bag over
him. Yeah. She's like, are you bringing me more pineapples? And he's like, sort of. If by that you mean death, that is what I'm bringing.
I got some bullets.
And he tries to let Nadia flee, right? Like, he's like, just go. Nobody's going to know except for Omar, who's right there. Fuck. But
like, you were standing there the whole time.
And that's what's on the photo. She had written on it right in that moment. He ends up having to shoot his friend in the chest. And then she's still dallying. And he's like, I really need you to leave. Then he shoots himself in the leg, gives her the gun. So it looks like she took him by force. Whoa, I didn't like the phrasing of that. So it looks like she broke out.
Yeah, shot Omar, yeah, shot him.
She did not
escaped.
Take him by force.
He's like, I'll take my pants off and I'll tell him. She's like, why are you going to tell him that? Maybe you sound like a terrible person.
Just the clout, the clout. Just don't worry about it. Get out. Just get
I'm
out.
I'm doing something.
I've got a plan.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm being Jack right now. Don't worry about it. Don't stress.
Yeah, it's just really, it's just because throughout the episode, she's been telling him that he's just this sweet person that's pretending to be something he's not. And yeah. So she writes him a letter. He's been carrying her photograph around and she writes him the letter on the photograph, hands that to her.
Look at this photograph.
Oh, God.
Look at this graph.
Every time I do it makes me laugh.
Fun fact, that song is about this show. Yeah.
Nickelback was inspired.
I spoiled Beach Please.
Yeah. I love this sequence because he set it up earlier when he told Danielle that Nadia was dead. And you know that he has like deep guilt about things. At least I thought he was going to end up actually executing her, you know, and that was his greatest regret or whatever. So when he goes to let her go, you still don't think it's going to end well.
Yeah, you think she's going to get in the truck and then immediately get found.
But maybe she's out there alive somewhere.
Maybe.
Somewhere, for all we know.
Somewhere.
Just with flayed feet, drilled hands.
Out there.
Is that a real song?
Beneath the pale moonlight.
I don't like it.
Nadia's thinking of you. Sorry.
That's how Steve puts me to sleep every night. He calls me.
Yeah. He just got it recorded
Steve,
for you.
Now's the time. I'm ready for
bed.
Getting
sleepy. It's time for the thing.
All right. Hold on.
Back on the island to the standoff where they're pointing guns at each other. He pulls the fucking trigger. Can we all just point out that he was gonna blow her brains out right there?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, gotcha. She removed the firing pin. Robert didn't notice either.
Ooh.
My husband,
Ooh.
Who I killed.
Ooh, she killed shit. Robert.
He killed all of the other Frenchmen, which is understandable.
Robert.
And Robert, he was sick. It took them one after the other. So that we get more clues to like people are being puppeteered in some way, right? There's some kind of the thing maybe would be a better thing than a zombie to bring up. So she killed them all. And she says, what would happen if we were rescued? I couldn't let that happen. So it's like, it's contagious, more like the thing, 1982's masterpiece film. And then she tells him, I can't let you go. And then he says, you'll find me in the next life, if not in this one, which just seems really random until he's like, no, it's what was on the back of the photo you asked earlier. And then that calms her because she
just
does
bringing that conversation back. Remember when you asked
this is
me
awkward because
this is I'm just answering a question you'd asked me previously.
Don't shoot me.
This is my way of apologizing for pulling the trigger and looking like a real butthead. That's on me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll let you know what the letter said.
What a dick move. And she does seem really sympathetic about that love story with Nadia, right? That's how you get her. That and the music box is the only two things she cares about. So he invites her to go with him, which was the move you should have used earlier.
You don't have to be alone, Danielle.
Yeah. But she declines. Your people. Watch them closely is what she says. And then says that Alex was her child. And I guess not, but I wrote the note as in she gave birth on the island because she's been there for 16 years. But I think she did also say that she arrived with Alex, right?
She did. I think Alex is.
So he's maybe like 20. He could be Ethan.
Also, Alex could be a woman.
It could be a woman. Could be a man.
Oh, true. Alex is my child, is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
We cut back to the golf game. Charlie.
You mean the Masters?
That's right. Almost made par for the first time.
Tiger Woods shows up. It's like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
And then Sawyer pops up when everybody's betting for or against Jack. He makes a bet against the doc. I got two bottles of shampoo and four condoms and some Percocet or whatever the fuck he says. And they're like, how do you get all that stuff? And don't worry about it.
My man who gets things.
We cut from the putt. We don't know if Jack ever made it, actually, which is annoying now that I'm thinking about it. We never find that
out. That's the biggest cliffhanger, honestly.
We put that in the Lost and Found.
Did Jack make the putt? Is Sawyer out two tubes of sunscreen?
Yeah. But there's like a match cut from the putt to a knife throw landing in a tree with a thunk. And it is Locke, of course, playing with his knives. Walt's there. Can you teach me how to stab people? I love to.
I guess.
I love how he gives this boy a comically huge knife.
So why not? Large.
It's the biggest knife I've ever seen.
Very big.
Literally, what could happen? And he's
run an island
time,
of mystery. Why not?
It's the second time he gave somebody a knife. And the first time, somebody got stabbed an hour later. So
that's
Locke's
true.
Locke's here for the drama.
Yeah.
He's here for the drama.
Honestly, gives me entertainment to hand all of you knives and see what happens.
Gives people knives. And then he and Ethan go into the woods at night and giggle about it.
Like. And they show each other their knives.
That's right. This here's one of them curvy ones that I want one.
Kind of looks like a boomerang.
There's a name for it. I just don't know it. But back to Saeed. He's out limping frantically. And then what he alluded to, what Rousseau was talking about earlier, like the wind's all whistly and creepy. Yeah. And we hear whispers in the forest.
Saeed. Georgia people. Nadia. That's the baby.
Did you fix our music box?
Oh, that was really cool. Thanks for doing that first.
It's been really supportive the whole time. It's whispering.
Thanks for doing that.
He's like, he looks really scared, but he's, thanks. I'm going back to my people now.
Yeah, you should. They miss you. My name's Ethan.
It's just Ethan in the tree with a microphone.
That's my power bottom. That's what I've been doing the whole show.
And that's how we close the episode.
Yeah, and lost. That's the lost. End. Now it's time for Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Beach Please.
As you all know by now, Beach Please is the segment where I scour the internet for facts, tidbits, trivia, little pieces of knowledge I can dish to you guys about the episode we just watched. And this one is also one of those episodes that's just a little dry.
A little sparse.
Yeah. Lost. I was committed to listening to all the DVD commentaries for every episode, but Lost was weird and only does four DVD commentaries each season. Oh. So there are only four episodes that have DVD commentaries
this is
each
not one.
Season. This is not one. Mm-hmm. The next one won't be until episode 13.
I see.
I did, however, come across... Jorge Garcia, who plays Hurley, has a Lost podcast. I've been thinking of listening to his to try to pick up some tidbits that he has, because some of the things I found came from him. But this episode, not a lot to go off, but I thought I would share some of the interesting tidbits I did find. Danielle, when she is asking Saeed where Alex is in the early beginning of the episode, she is speaking at least six different languages. She is a well-learned woman. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know what those languages are?
One is German.
Yeah.
One was Spanish.
Vos Alex.
Spanish.
Donde está Alex?
French.
Où est Alex?
English.
Yeah, where is Alex?
So that's four.
Mm-hmm.
Russian.
Russian is one of them.
Okay, there's two more.
Where is he?
Da.
There's so she speaks English, German, Spanish, Italian, French, and Russian. And Klingon. No. Wouldn't that blow your mind if she's like,
it would.
God. Like she starts doing that shit. Do you know Huttese?
Where is the precious?
She speaks Gollum.
Adam.
She just does that whole scene where it's like, you don't have any friends.
Yeah.
It's her.
Yeah, because that's kind of her character.
Yeah. So at the caves, when people are like yelling over each other, you can hear in the background some ADR of Shannon saying something along the lines of, ew, don't let it drink the water. And that ADR has actually come from a scene that was cut. Originally in the full scene, the cave survivors are eating, Locke's cooking some of the boar, and Shannon shows up into the cave to get some water. But Vincent the dog is drinking water from they're drinking water, and she's grossed out. At that point, I believe Michael or Walt starts giving Vincent a bath in the spring. And Shannon's grossed out. And this is what inspires Michael to actually create the bath, drinking water, irrigation system that he ends up drawing is because of the scene with Shannon that they ended ultimately cut.
But like rightfully so. Like,
yeah, don't bathe the dog. I don't mind the dog drinking from
water.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just silly.
Mm-hmm. But I think Hurley would have had a line where it's like, dude, dogs' mouths are cleaner than ours or something
for
like
sure.
that. Yeah.
Which is actually not true.
No.
They do be licking their own asses.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
They do be bidetting their assholes.
Unlike civilized humans, which only lick other people's asses.
I would never. Our next and final bit of trivia is the music being played from Danielle's music box. Do you guys want to know what that is?
It is Gangnam Style. By
Psy.
Oppa Gangnam Style.
I did recognize it.
So it's a classic French opera. It is the intermezzo from Carmen.
Ugh, I knew it.
By Bizet. Yeah, so, I mean, she's leaning into the French identity here. listening to some Bizet.
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 Eating a baguette, listening to Bizet.
Smoking a cigarette.
Using my bidet.
Hey!
Nice. Bring it all back.
Nice. Bring it all back. And that we're bringing out of Beach Please.
Our next segment is called the Mile High Club Moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Count it down from 3 to 1. Madison, start us off. What's your number 3 favorite moment of the episode?
My number 3 favorite moment, it was very small scene, but it just brought me so much joy. But it's when Jack Hurley, Michael, Charlie are playing golf. And there's one, it's just one quick shot of Hurley and Charlie like swinging their golf clubs up in the air. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that scene? No.
Like, you can, if you search lost gifs, like it's one of the most gifable moments
and
of
it's
lost.
So really? Fun. They're just like waving it, like just two, like
they're
dudes,
taunting
on,
them,
dudes
yeah.
on a golf course, but it's just like they're waving it around and I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's like, that's some pals having a good time.
How
it
did
just,
I
it
miss
made me,
this?
It made me smile. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's up there.
There's some really touching moments and relief in this episode, mixed with some of the most brutal, dark stuff that we've gotten. It's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, oh, here it is.
While Saeed is getting tortured in the lair. You don't remember seeing that?
No.
Just like the waving around of the golf clubs. That's funny.
Woo!
Woo! I mean, that's what you do with your
yeah,
when you're out
it's
with
just
the boys.
They're,
I
like golf. They're fucking around. I liked it.
Yeah.
While Saeed is getting tortured in a lair, yeah, not too far away.
We all can't have great days.
Steve, what's your number 3?
So my number 3 is kind of the same. It's basically just, I really love that shot of Michael and Jack real close to each other. Like, oh man, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. And then smash cut, they're actually playing golf. They trick you. You think they're talking about, what are we going to do about the situation with Hurley? Wasting time and resources. Ah, psych. We're gonna have fun and play golf. I mean, really, my number 3 is the whole entire golf subplot, because it's kind of one big thing throughout the one big scene.
Yeah.
And there's one line in particular that Jack has that I really, really liked, where he's like, "I spent, you know, weeks trying to build infrastructure and caves and shelter for people to feel safe, and no one's felt safe. Hurley goes and builds a golf course, and everyone feels safe." Because, and I think that's such a crucial line to the show, because, you know, Hurley, this is finally what Hurley brings to the equation. He's bringing people a sense of normalcy, and it reminds people that they're all human beings, and like, it's not all death and crazy monsters and stuff. Like, you know, you can go have fun. And that's why the whole entire golf plot line is like my number 3 moment.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's my number 3 as well. I don't think there's any shame in that. It's such a good, it's so well edited and well set up. It'd be easy for it to not work. But you know, we're so used to the drama that it works like a charm, where you're like, what happened? What'd I miss? And then, it's just a golf game.
Just golf.
I love that moment too. That's my number 3. Madison, what's your number 2?
My number 2 is towards the end, where Danielle and Saeed are pointing the guns at each other. And you learn, oh, Alex is her child. And we learn what was written on the back of the picture of Nadia. I liked it. And also these two characters who have been together this entire episode are having a face off. And I just thought it was a cool scene. I also liked, right before they were officially pointing the guns at each other, there was like a weird smash cut where Saeed was going through the forest and he heard something. And then it cut to Danielle, who like, it made it look like she was looking at him, but she was actually looking at whatever the monster was, or the beast was. And then that's when Saeed came in behind her. So I just thought it was a good like anticipation building scene to that moment. And then we got some emotional tidbits in there as well, with Danielle talking about her kid. And then,
hella tidbits.
Yeah.
Hella tidbits.
Hella tidbits. And then Saeed coming in with the, what does it say? You'll find me in the next life, if not this one. So that's my number 2.
That's a good number 2. My number 2
I hear that a lot.
Oh, that's a good number 2. Thanks for helping me out Bidet.
Okay, Adam Sandler over there.
Oh, Mr. Bidet.
Mr. Bidet over there.
I really like the music box scene.
Yeah.
With Danielle, because this is this woman that has been alone for so long, And even though she knows she doesn't trust Saeed yet, she can't not have him. She can't allow him to walk around free in her little yurt or hut or whatever.
She wants him to be her sex slave.
Yeah. She's desperate for that human connection is what it is. Like
the dick.
She can't.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
No, I mean, she is. Because she wants to listen to that music because it reminds her of Robert.
It makes her horny.
Horny. She's like, I love Bizet. Nothing gets me in the mood better than Bizet. But yeah, it's this person that like she's desperate for human connection because she has not had that. She knows. And I love how they play the whole idea of she can't trust this guy yet, but she's so desperate. She desperately wants to so bad. And Saeed is so, you know, he has ulterior motives in doing this, but like the fact that he like rebuilds the skill that he has of like being able to fix things mechanically, he rebuilds this music box and it starts playing and just seeing this Sarah Connor. She has the Sarah Connor look the whole time.
Yeah, I really like that parallel.
Yeah, like she has that look, but when that music box lights up, her whole face and demeanor just changes. And like she's Danielle Russo again and not mm-hmm. Sarah Connor. Mother of the of humanity's saving grace. And I just really like that human moment between these two. It's very nice.
I agree. My number two is kind of similar, but it's specifically when he's laying there and she first finds out about Nadia when he says that she's dead. And she kind of, it's that human connection that she's been craving for so long. And she breaks down and says, I'm so sorry. Right. And it's kind of jarring. Because you don't feel like they've earned that moment, but you still believe it. And we find out it's because, you know, she's had to murder her own husband. She's lost her child. So she identifies with the pain he's experiencing immediately. And all the other trappings of their circumstances fall away. And she just wants to console him in that moment and connect. And again,
Saeed's like the absolute correct person to have met her first.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they for seem, sure. They imagine if she met like Charlie.
Ethan.
I don't know where Alex is, but do you have any drugs? You know,
like I can't wait for Danielle to meet Kate.
Somehow Danielle is like a huge Drive Chef fan.
Because I want Danielle to like beat some sense into Kate. Like, psh, psh. Maybe she won't. She seems pretty hot and bothered by Saeed. So
yeah,
I don't know if that'll.
I think she should take anything at this point, though. Do you know how to fix my box? You know,
to Kate.
Yeah,
she's like, no, but I know how to make drapes.
I can sew you some subpar drapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my number two is the I'm so sorry moment. Madison, what's your favorite moment of episode 9?
My favorite moment and kind of the peak of Saeed's story is when he is allowing Nadia the opportunity to escape and they have that exchange. And, you know, it just kind of shows his character. You know, although he is this torture person, that's not the right word.
Torture person.
Hello, it is me.
Although
he
inflicts torture, as his job, you know, at the end of the day, he sees that that Nadia is a good person and he wants to give her a chance. And, you know, they do have a history together. And I think it just shows kind of who his character is, the heart of what his character is all about. And then to see it kind of unfold the way that it has kind of shows who he is in the future while he's on the island. And also why it kind of bothers him that he did kind of revert back to his torture ways with Sawyer. And it was just nice to kind of see that scene and how that kind of relates to who he is as a character. But yeah, that's my number one. I thought it was very heartfelt. I thought the performances for both of those actors were really good. So yeah, that was my number one.
Wonderful. Steve, what is your number one?
My number one, I believe, was Madison's number two, and that is the gun confrontation, the climax between Danielle and Saeed. And Saeed sort of like throwing down his gun, well, after he tried to shoot her, but throwing down his gun and being like, this is what the letter said. Hey, and I don't know, there's something about Saeed, this character, I think this is why people like him so much, is he's super complex. He has this dark backstory. He's capable of torturing people. But at the same time, when he looks at a person and it's like, hey, you don't have to be alone anymore. You feel this empathy and care. And I think it goes mm-hmm. back to what Nadia tells him earlier in the episode, which is like, you're trying to be someone you're not. And who he really is this person that deeply, deeply cares about other people around him and wants to make the world a better place. And you really feel that, something about the dynamic between he and Danielle, this character of Danielle is able to pull this out of Saeed so well compared to everyone else. But then also, of course, there's the fun of the scene of all the little tidbits being dished out, you know, the others, the sickness, the Black Rock, the, you know, that Alex is my child, all that stuff. And, you know, we love the mysteries of loss. And so I think this scene is like a really great distillation of the mysteries of loss and the character work of loss coming together and working with a lot of synergy.
I like that.
Yeah. I think my number one is a little strange, but I have to be honest.
Be honest. Live your truth.
It's the weirdest moment I was experiencing. I watched this late last night. I watched Mean Girls first. So I was just probably like a little after midnight. And it's when Sawyer joins the betting at the golf game and everybody's kind of like welcomes him, you know, hesitantly. And even Boone is like, there's this whole weird moment where Boone like changes who he's rooting for. But it's in a way to allow Sawyer to join. And for some reason that hit me emotionally, even though like I saw what they were doing a mile away and it shouldn't have worked. It like at the beginning of the episode when she had that whole comment, like, oh, I'm a loner too. Like none of that worked for me. I didn't care at all. Sawyer, fuck off. I don't care. But when he showed up randomly, it just, I don't know why it works so well, but I almost cried. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I guess I care about Sawyer. I didn't know this was happening. We're doing this.
Things happen, man.
Yeah, we're doing this.
What
right
happened
now.
To you?
You're feeling things.
I'm feeling things. No, I just
did he give you a suitcase full of money that you can take home and smell and sleep with? And
he gave me some shampoo
and some sunscreen
and like six of the strap-ons he had found in one of the suitcases.
Mm. Well, that's where those went.
It is, and three hairbrushes.
Nice.
I just thought it worked. You know, it was a great moment where it's like it'd be cool to see him involved with the crew because I'm kind of tired of the whole I'm a fucking dick, I guess. You know, whole like we can stop that. You know, I'm over that.
I'm a real piece of shit.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
Do you not get the letter
that I wrote? So that was my favorite moment. It just really worked for me. And a very emotional, good episode. But now it's time to pick our passenger princess, our favorite performance of the episode, Madison.
Princess.
Who are you going with?
I feel like all of us may pick the same person, but I could be wrong.
I might have a plot twist for you.
Oh, okay.
I might go Ethan.
I feel like I feel like the most obvious choice is
Rash Guy.
Exactly. He played the shit out of having that rash. Yeah.
I really believed he didn't know what hives were.
But Naveen Andrews, who plays Saeed, I feel like it is only proper to give him the Passenger Princess Award for this. It was his episode. He was being tortured through majority of it. And so I think his performance was really good. I thought he had to pull a lot of emotions in there to sell being tortured, you know, having to say goodbye to this woman that he may or may not have romantic feelings for, but definitely cares about her. And also having to tune into Jack a little bit, being very out of breath at the end. So I think Naveen did a really good job.
Agreed. Steve?
This is...
You picked Naveen last time.
I did pick Naveen Andrews for the last episode. This episode, I think, is the hardest choice so far this season. I think there are three really good picks you could take from this. You could pick Naveen Andrews, who plays Saeed. You can play Andrea Gabriel, who plays Nadia. Mm-hmm. I think Mira Furlan, who plays Danielle, is an excellent choice. Because I think all three of these actors are really, they're bringing their A game. They're working really, really well together as well. And you know, I agree. Like, I feel like you have to give it to Stupid Sexy Saeed in this episode. But because I gave it to him last episode, I don't know how often we're going to have, how many chances we're going to have to give it to this person. But I'm going to give it to Mira Furlan as Danielle.
Nice.
I'm going to give it to her.
That's a good one.
She's my passenger princess for this episode.
I gave mine to Andrea Gabriel, who played Nadia.
Wow.
Yeah.
The trifecta. Opposite of We All Everybody, but in a good way.
Yeah. The trifecta.
Obviously, you know, Naveen was incredible. I hadn't even considered Danielle Rousseau, which I should have. She was great. But I think, I don't know if I'll ever see Nadia again. And I think she fucking crushed it. She flitted in and out with intense tsunami of emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to do that. Like, make me care so much about somebody so quickly. Plus all that she went through with mm-hmm. the drills and the acid and the, she deserves a passenger princess.
What, like 5 to 7 minutes of screen time? Maybe.
If that.
And you care about that character so much right away.
Yeah. And I'm grateful that she wasn't just like fridged for motivation for, you know, Saeed's character growth. You know, it was all a pleasant surprise. Yeah, very pleased. Andrea Gabriel crushed it. Apparently she's in Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Now it's time for Lost and Found. Steve, catch us up real quick. Where are we at with the mysteries? We got to add some more this time for sure.
Well, before we get into adding mysteries, I think we can solve some mysteries. It's been a while since we've been able to do this. I think we can do that.
Okay.
So
the photo.
Yeah, who is the woman in the photo that Saeed has?
Nadia.
It's Nadia. Let's scratch that off the list.
Nadia.
Where are, why, sorry.
Where art thou?
Where,
Romeo?
Romeo?
Why are there French people? Or like, what happened to the French people?
Why French people?
We all know what happened to them. They're all dead except for Danielle.
Yeah, they were shipwrecked from Tahiti. There were science crews. Yeah.
Or should we update this to what is the sickness that took the French people?
Yeah, I said a new question. Who is them in quotes?
Yeah, who are the others? That's one.
Okay, so we're adding who are the others? Boom. Yeah. What took the French people?
Sure.
Yeah.
Bam. Where's Alex?
Sure.
Where's Alex?
Bam. What is that cable that Saeed was following?
Is that a question?
I think it is because it wasn't answered.
I felt like it was just like you were supposed to think.
Well,
like,
it's attached to something in the water.
It's attached to something in the water.
That's
it goes somewhere. He gets taken up by Danielle, and when he asks her about the cable, she's like, "It's not mine."
Which is honest,
well,
maybe.
Actually, wasn't that attached to the tripwire?
I thought it was just one of her trap things, but turns out Steve's seen the show. If he's asking us to ask where the rope is.
Fair.
Just keep the cable in your mind.
All right.
Also, what is the Black Flag?
Black That's Rock.
A decent band.
Or Black Rock. Black Flag is a great band.
And a great Assassin's Creed game.
The best Assassin's Creed
game. When she
Creed
fixes
game.
Her box, it's just Black Flag that starts playing. yes.
Love this band.
My
Which
youth.
I really hope the Black Rock is somehow a parallel to Skull Rock from Peter Pan.
Mm.
It's just like the Lost Boys
the
are
others
on this
out.
Island. Yeah.
It's the lost
French boys.
Yeah, it's where Alex has been.
Yeah.
Mom, I told you to leave me alone.
Mom, stop. I don't want to grow up.
So with that, I believe that brings our lost and found list to what is the monster? It's beautiful. What happened to the plane? Why are there polar bears on the island? Where are they? What are Kate's crimes? Why did the monster spare Locke? What's Jack's deal, professional and personal? Why can John Locke walk again? What did Jack do to his dad? Where are the hairbrushes? Where is Jack's father's body? Who were the dead people in the caves? Who attacked Saeed? What's Sawyer's real name? Who are the others? What took the French people? Where is Alex? What is the cable that Saeed is looking for? And where and what is the Black Rock?
I can't wait to be episode like 24 and we have to take
none
like,
of that is still answered.
Yeah, we just have to take like 30 a minute seconds to for you to read that list.
I do know just from my memory, at least one of these I don't think is answered till like season 3 at the earliest, at least one of these.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
We'll just speed through the end of you listing off everything.
Yeah. We'll just keep adding. Like, we'll talk about what we're adding and if something mm-hmm. changed, and then maybe every 5 episodes or so.
Yeah, we want
this whole
frequently.
Fucking list.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time we've done it in a while. But that's episode 9. Tune in for next week for episode 10, obvi. Later in the week, we're dropping an episode on Mean Girls. Check the feed on Patreon if you're a member for extra episodes. We just did a Knives Out coverage. And there's also going to inevitably be a winter/holiday poll for an extra bonus movie this month. Got to make that poll here soon.
We got merch. You like Lost, go buy our Lost shirts out of the merch store. And if you're feeling festive for the holiday season, we do have a Happy Holidays and Happy Streaming shirt and sweatshirt. Comes in 2 forms, several different colors. What is it? Red, green, black, whatever color
Those
you
three.
Want. And if you pre-order those shirts before the 13th, you can get those before Christmas.
Or whatever holiday. December 24th is when you can get it.
Yeah.
That date might mean nothing to you.
Yeah.
But that's all the time we've got for right now. I've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
I'm sorry, it had the same yellow color.
That's a more appropriate.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh, I gotta change that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.